Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Dearest Mother.
Dearest Mother.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh out in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. From our chanting yesterday and this morning, God gave me something this morning that I thought was wonderful, and it was that some people chant in order to realize God, some people chant because they know God. It's very true. Sometimes we want to chant God's name and we want to feel God in our heart, and we chant and we sing to God and we love God. What a wonderful way that Swami Ram Dass gave to us in terms of going all the way to God just by chanting, singing God's name. And so we sing that praise, we sing that those words in Papa's own words, Om Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And that is the victory to God, victory to the light. And at first we sing it, when Mother first taught this on the Wednesday night meditation that I first attended, she sang that song and led us all in that chant. And I was actually a little disturbed by the chant at first. It was haunting in a way. And but it stayed with me. And I started to chant that, and it just almost came about on its own. And I chanted and I chanted hour after hour. And after a while, what I noticed was that as I chant, I could feel the vibration of the chant in my heart center. And then the chant took on a new power, a new depth. And as it grew in that power, as I grew in the depth of realization of my connection, my oneness with God, I could feel the bliss of God that was emanating from this vibration. Some of it was the physical vibration that as I sang, but really I didn't sing out loud very often. I would just sing a few phrases out loud, and then I would sing in within. I was a very quiet person. I didn't speak very much. So singing very long wasn't conducive to to me, but taking it inside and then feeling the depth of that power. And then as I sang and as I chanted and feeling the bliss of God, feeling the presence of God, and it grew and grew and grew. And so we feel not just that we are singing to God, but that God is singing through us and through the chant and through the vibration of the chant. And it's extremely powerful. And then the words, even when they're Sanskrit, as in the Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, and they may even be a foreign language to us in that sense, but they take on a power, and those words go deep into the unconscious mind, and they start destroying the seeds of ignorance that are deep in the subconscious mind. All those things, the places of separation, as we have the feeling of God, and as that feeling grows in us, that feeling of bliss, then all these seeds are destroyed. And what is left is a perfect equanimity and a perfect peace. And you see how powerful it is to chant God's name. Now, Papa said, in one way, there's nothing special in Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, that you could chant God's name in whatever way that's pleasing to you. And that as you continue to chant this name with great faith, with great love and great devotion, it will take on the same power, whatever name of God you have. He gave the story of the man who was very shy about meeting his guru. He knew that this man was his guru, but he didn't feel worthy somehow. And so he set out the very outskirts as the guru was giving his dissertation. And as the guru spoke on, he couldn't hardly hear any words at all. But finally he caught one word, and that was the word pestle, as in mortar and pestle. And so he thought, that's what my guru has initiated with me with, is this name pestle. And so he called God pestle, pestle, pestle. And he just kept chanting that over with great love, great devotion, because his guru had given it to him. And he had so purified him that one day a beautiful golden pestle came down from heaven, swooped him up, and took him all the way up into the highest heavens. So it's our love, it's our devotion, it's our ability to focus upon God alone that enables us to gain this great love of God. When I first came to Mother, Mother talked a lot about love of God, and it was a little bit of a mystery to me. I didn't know what love was at that time. But love is the greatest attractor in all this creation. When there is love, there is such a powerful connection. And when we love God, we feel drawn to God like little pieces of metal that are drawn to a magnet. And since God is the greatest magnet that was ever, then we feel that attraction, we feel that love, we just want to be consumed by God, we want to be taken by God, we want to be absorbed into that divine consciousness and intelligence and power and bliss. And so we just focus our minds upon God, chant to God, love God. And through that, we attain that complete and total union with the divine. We really are absorbed into God. This is the great truth that is underlying all the world's religions, that we may become one with the infinite Lord. It's the greatest news that ever was, that ever will be. And yet, it is an open secret. It is a secret to so many, because they don't really comprehend. They really don't understand. Because if we really did understand, there would be nothing that would bar us from having our union with God. We would want it absolutely, completely, and totally. I'd like to read here from Papa Ram Dass, entitled Divine Love. The greatest acquisition of human life is divine love. Divine love is the love for the Lord seated in the hearts of all beings and creatures. This love is attained by the devotee in the first place only through the realization of the Lord in his own heart. The Lord is the master of worlds, He pervades the entire universe. He is the supreme ruler of all planes and spheres of existence. Since he is everywhere and all, to behold him in all beings and love them all is the true adoration of the Lord. In this vision of love, the apparent good and evil have no significance. This love is based upon equality and a consciousness of universality. Divine love is absolutely pure and crystalline. It does not see distinctions and so has no likes and dislikes. It flows from the heart of the devotee and floods the world, embracing and absorbing all alike, just as the light from the sun shines equally upon all. It sheds its sweetness on all the same degree. The devotee who has realized this exalted love is spontaneously blissful in all his activities, since these are permeated through and through with love. The real joy of the eternal is conceived in the womb of divine love. Divine love expresses itself in cheerfulness, contentment, self-sacrifice, forgiveness, compassion, and peace. This love is absent in the heart in which, in the place of the Supreme Lord, ego has installed himself. The ego is the cause of the soul's bondage and misery. The moment the soul realizes his supreme and divine nature by union with the Lord in his heart, he becomes the very lustrous moon, emitting always soft and soothing rays of divine love. The ego obstructs the free flow of divine love in the human being. So to earn the supreme blessings of the glorious love, a one-pointed devotion to and adoration of the Lord of the universe is the way, the means, and the goal. Adoration of the Lord signifies a loving remembrance of him at all times, and this remembrance can be most easily effected by constantly taking the Lord's divine name. We, of course, are marking the time of the year that is the summer solstice. I think to one degree or another, we are all aware that these different changes that come with the world affect all of us, and these lunar cycles are very powerful. At this time, the Earth is tilted toward the sun to the greatest degree in this northern hemisphere, and we are closest to the sun in that sense. And also, with this, what is called sometimes a supermoon, the moon is at the closest degree in its rotation around the Earth, and it's a full moon besides. So we have these tremendous forces that are acting upon us, and I have felt them strongly in this last period of time, over these last couple of weeks as we approached this time. Today is the time when the moon is the closest to the Earth, and on Friday we have the summer solstice. And we can feel these forces. We can sense them. Sometimes it's disturbing to people. Sometimes it's activating of a rajasic kind of mind. And for others, it can be a spiritual uplift, particularly when we are completely focused upon God alone. The winter solstice in past years has always been the strongest on me, and the summer solstice is second strongest, and then there are the times that are the mid-seasons. And these are the times that there are great transitions. These yogis who exercise great care in developing their own consciousness were sensitive to these different tides, to these different movements within the celestial spheres. In current day modern science, there is a great development of instruments, started with perhaps Galileo and the development of the telescope, and then there's the microscope, and then there's all kinds of different instruments to measure the movements and the activities of all nature. However, what the yogis discovered is that this human being, this human instrument, is a very great instrument. In fact, it is the supreme instrument in terms of really knowing and understanding this vast universe. It's not to say that there's no place for physical science. It has many wonderful discoveries to it. But we should not ignore this human instrument that we all have in order to know ourselves, in order to know this universe we reside in, and to know the Creator. This is the greatest, of course, all discoveries, is that we are able to know the Creator from which we have all been spun and have come into this human form. As we attune ourselves into more and more refined ways of being, we open ourselves up to these more subtle ways of knowing. Most people are very focused upon this outer world, but great discoveries oftentimes have come through intuitive apprehensions. There is a story about Albert Einstein when he was one day in the morning, he was leaving his home, and his wife handed him his things, and he's going to walk to work. And so she went back into the home, and she was doing various things, and then she saw something that he had forgotten. And so she rushed out to see if she could catch him before he had completely gone, and she found him in the foyer standing there. Some thought had struck him, and struck him so profoundly that he was just standing there, stock still, completely absent of any awareness of this world, completely focused on the interior of his own consciousness. And he once said a very great thing. He says, "I don't care about anything except for what are the thoughts of God's thoughts. What are God's thoughts? That's what I really want to know. Everything else is just mere details." And this is really true. This is really true. If we could learn to focus our attention in such a way that we could become absorbed into God, just think about that for a moment. Normally, when we try to turn our attention in and we try to meditate, we have so many different distractions. We hear noises outside of ourselves. We get into daydreams about anything and everything. But just think about being in God's presence, feeling that peace, feeling that expansiveness of spirit, becoming so absorbed in that that nothing else exists for us, no day, no night, nothing of these various times that Solomon, the great philosopher, great man of wisdom, was talking about in Ecclesiastes. Yes, all these things happen in their own time, in their own season. But there is nothing good in man except that he should rejoice. What does rejoice mean? It means to be in the bliss of God. That takes you beyond time, takes you beyond space, takes you beyond everything that is. Remember when I was in the cave that has been identified as Babaji's cave, where Lai Mahasya had spent so many previous lifetimes. I think it was either his son or his grandson had traveled up to the area where Lai Mahasya had gained initiation from Babaji and identified a particular cave as Babaji's cave. And you can go there today. And it's a wonderful experience, because you can go into that cave, you have a guide who takes you there, and then you're given a rubber mat because the cave is actually quite wet and has this tremendous granite stones all around it. And the reason that yogis, you know, they start out in towns and nearby towns because they need food like anybody else does normally, and so they go in and they beg for their food every day, but gradually they'll withdraw themselves further and further away from any people because they become such a refined instrument that they're sensitive to people's thoughts and their feelings and their moods and all the activities of this world. And they actually find it painful to be around different people. And so they go into these caves, and these caves are made, of course, usually of rock, and they're tremendous, really, because this kind of granite, this kind of rock, is a great insulator against the vibrations of those activities of the world, of all the changing nature of the world. And so you go into Babaji's cave and you sit there, and when I sat, I just felt my mind going out. It easily merged into the infinite expanse of all that God is. And so you think about going into a cave as a means of withdrawing, but really you expand, you merge yourself, not only into the consciousness that has made up this universe, but the vast consciousness of God that goes greatly beyond that. And you feel your mind go out without any edges to it, without any distinction in it. It's pure consciousness. It's absolute consciousness. There's no thought that interrupts or overlays itself upon this consciousness. And you are in the absolute freedom and perfectness of God's Spirit. These things are tremendous when they happen to you. And they teach you what your true nature is. In the beginning, that becomes something that is just, that comes now and then. You get a little glimpse of it, and then it's gone from you. But gradually, as you go deeper with this, it becomes a more of an all-the-time kind of an experience. And you always feel within the stillness, within your own being, the union with God. And that God comes to you as this bliss, as this upliftment, as inspired ideals and ideas, that everything comes from that. And even things that come from, in a worldly sense, begin to get connected with God. This is a great thing that we can do. Because so many things we see as distractions from God, but if we see that God is the headwaters for every experience that comes to us, so for instance, you may have distracting thoughts or desire natures, but in your mind you connect that to God and you see it all coming from God. And then when you do that, it develops a pure stream that comes from that source, and it erases any kind of difficulty or anything that's not in concert with that divine source. And if you have pain in your body, or if you have emotional pain, and you see that as coming directly from God, it's a flow of God's life energy, of His intelligence, of His everything. And so now you don't try to fight the pain, you don't try to resist it, to get rid of it in any way. You just simply see, oh, this pain too is coming directly from God. And it changes your experience of that pain. You may still have the physical pain, but now you discover a deeper layer to it. There's also a peace. There is also a blissful nature to that pain, to that difficulty. And so everything in this world, whatever comes to us, if we see it all as coming from God, and we really seek to make that connection with what the source of that is, it will change our experience of whatever it is that the world is presenting to us. And so whatever you see as the greatest obstacle in your way of realizing God, see even that obstacle as coming from God. Chant God's name. Love God. Think of God's attributes. Oh Lord, you are all powerful. You are all love. You are joy. You are bliss. You are the author of everything that exists. There is nothing that exists that does not come from you. And everything is absorbed back into your nature. You think of God like that as you sing and chant to His name. And as you focus your mind upon God's name and upon these attributes, your mind is purified. And when your mind is purified, you're able to stay in that absolute, complete absorption into God, into the One. You see what a wonderful path that we have here. Yeah, there's nothing but directness, going directly to God. When Mother asked me to take on this work, she asked me to form no organization, not to advertise, not to do anything in a way of charging for anything that I do for God. And the wonderful thing about this is that it allows us to keep our minds completely on God. I don't ask anything from anyone, except that if you want to follow this path, then do these few things. Practice your Kriya Yoga morning and night. chant God's name, love God, feel that you're serving in God, whatever you do in this world, feel that it's your service to God. And you will win this freedom, you will feel this expansion. You will go beyond the variance of this world and merge into complete and total union with God. And when you do, you will lose all fear. All fear. Can you imagine having a life without fear, without any anxiety, that everything is in the hands of God, everything is known by God, and there is nothing that can happen that is outside of God's purview? Now, to some, this is disturbing because Solomon says there's a time for war and there's a time for peace, and we think, my goodness, how can there ever be a time for war? And yet there is such a thing as righteous war. There is such a thing as righteous anger. And sometimes God calls upon you to take a stand. Sometimes he wants you to move out into this world in a powerful kind of a way. And it may even cost you your life. But what of that compared to the truth, compared to God's light and bringing that light into this world? Just think if Jesus had retired from his life and said, no, I don't want such a thing to happen to me. I just want to live a life, you know, just of peacefulness and just in some little corner of the world, and I'll be all right. And he would have been. But what a change he brought about in this world, because he is willing to step forward and speak the truth. And he was crucified for that truth. And there can be some who will look at that and they'll shy away in fear of that. When in this life has God prompted us to say something, to do something, but through embarrassment or because we felt shy about it or afraid, we would not go there. We would not do it. We would not say it. When you withhold yourself from this world, then you harm yourself, and this world is also harmed. We must step out in total bravery. We must step out in total faith. If we are truly following God's will, then we can truly be fearless. We can be at peace. There need be nothing that will stop us from knowing this truth. And so there have been many times when God has put me through experiences, and he did it in front of, you might say, God and everybody. Did it in public places sometimes. And there is a little battle inside of me. Well, should I do this here? And what will people think about me? But, you know, I was in God's grip. And Mother asked me to start speaking, and I was shy about doing that. I never told anybody except Mother about any experiences that I had. And then when she told me to speak, she says, I want you to speak about your own experiences. And don't just make it philosophical. Tell people what you've experienced in this. And that was difficult for me to do. I had never done that before. And generally we're instructed not to do that, but here she was, my guru, telling me to go out and tell, well, what will people think about that? Will they believe me? What will they think about me? People who aren't attuned to this truth, what if they hear things like that? What will they think of me? You see, these are all the things that go on inside of the mind. But you know, when I was able to speak the truth out plainly, not embellishing it, not doing too much with it, just speaking exactly what God had given me, it freed me. I was able to then be myself. I remember one time when I was battling with some of these issues, and I lived so much in a shadow. I always wanted to withdraw. I always wanted to hide in some way and not let my light shine in this world. And the thought occurred to me that this is my life. And if I didn't live my life out of fear, out of a feeling of embarrassment or shame or anything else, if I didn't live it now, then when exactly would I live it? When would I step into my life fully and really live my life? You look at Mother, you look at Master, you look at any of the great masters, they live their life. They had the courage to step in completely. And if not now, then when exactly? Do you imagine that there will come some time later in your life that it'll be all right to be yourself, to say what's true for you, to say what you think, but not now? You'll have to fight that same battle no matter when. And that you have a right to be here. In fact, more than a right, there is a need for the unique qualities that God can bring forth through you. Now, our part is to make sure that our mind is upon God and that we are surrendered to Him. But in practicing that, we live fully. We bring all of ourselves to bear upon this life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And just think of everybody living up to their highest light. If everybody in this world were living up to their highest light, how that would change this world. And what would happen to deprivation? What would happen to so many illnesses? What would happen to so much grief? They would just plain disappear when everybody was living up to the highest light that they knew, that they had integrity, that they were not hypocrites. This is a great change that can come across this world. Sometimes we can look out in this world and we can feel in despair of it, because it seems that there's just nothing that seems to be reflecting the growth in God that we would like to see for this world at large. It seems like it's in constant warfare with itself. But you know, it's not really true. There are people who are making great strides. There are so many people who are dedicated toward realizing the highest light inside of them. Oftentimes they live their lives secretly, quietly. But it doesn't mean that we have to despair for this world. We can find kindred spirits wherever we are at. So let us awaken to this fact. Let us see that we go through these seasons and we feel the effect of these seasons, but there's something greater in us than the seasons themselves. Reading from Master here. From the Autobiography of a Yogi, the deeper the self-realization of a man, the more he influences the whole universe by his subtle spiritual vibrations, and the less he himself is affected by the phenomenal flux. These words of Master often returned inspiringly to my mind. Occasionally I told astrologers to select my worst periods, and according to the planetary indications, I would still accomplish whatever task I set myself. It is true that my success at such times had been accompanied by extraordinary difficulties, but my conviction has always been justified. Faith in divine protection and the right use of man's God-given will are forces formidable beyond any the inverted bowl can muster. And so we find that we can transcend the things of this world. It is very, very interesting to explore the things of this world, the influences, especially these subtle influences. And you are in a laboratory, the most important laboratory ever developed, and that is the human laboratory, in terms of knowing God's will and what God is capable of doing. But you can transcend it. You can go beyond it. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? Just recently, Ruth Lamb's mother left the body, and believe it or not, she was 106 years old. Isn't that wonderful? And she's a wonderful soul. She was a medical doctor, and well into her 90s and even over 100. Her mind was very, very sharp. In the last few years, it slipped a little bit. But when Ruth wrote to me, and one day she was visiting with her mother, and I thought I'd read you this because I found it very delightful and quite funny. Here's a bit of the conversation, Ruth says. She said, "What about David?" I said, "Which David do you mean?" She said, "The yoga David." I said, "He is fine. He lives in the States." She smiled, "But he comes here sometimes." I said, "Yes, he comes to Canada sometimes." She said, "He is cute. He looks at you in his eyes, and his eyes have something special. he's a mechanic. I said, do you mean God's mechanic? She said, yes, he's God's mechanic. And Ruth says, there you go, God's mechanic from Irene Noble at 106 years. That's sweet. This world is in need of fixing. It's in need of some direction. It's in need of being lifted up. And each one of us, in that sense, are God's mechanic. That God gives us the tools, he gives us the knowledge, he gives us the way of making this world a better place. Now you may say, well, I just have this small life. I don't influence that many people. I'm not on television. I don't have access to those kinds of things. But you know, there's a great thing in whatever you do, because you set a pattern, as Master said in the writing, there's a vibration that goes out from you. And some of these yogis who remain isolated in these caves, they send out tremendous vibrations. I can tell you from my own experience, these vibrations are tremendous. They're like huge waves that go out. And they go out all around this world. All around this world. And they help to change this world. I read something very interesting one time that said that, you know, when Jesus breathed during his 33 years, those atoms that he breathed in and out, those air molecules, they have gone out all around this world, and every one of us have also breathed in some of those same molecules, some of those same air that Jesus breathed in and out. Isn't that an amazing thought? Your life counts. It really does. If there is anything that I could impress upon you, it would be that. Your life counts. It's important. And no matter what you think about, you, what do you know? You just have your puny little human mind to measure it by. What do you know that some effect that you put into motion, either through your deepest meditation, you know, Master was walking Mount Washington properties one time. He had one of the nuns with him. And Rajasi Janakananda, who is a self-made millionaire, and he gave a lot of money towards Master and towards his work. And so many people had a deep respect for him because of that. But Master knew what was what. And as he was walking, they saw Rajasi meditating. And so he motioned to the nun to be quiet, and they went on past. And then he confided to the nun, and he said, you know, Rajasi, in the way that he's meditating right now, this kind of meditation does more for this work than all the money that he's given to us. Just think of those priorities. Just think of the influence that occurs when an individual goes into union with God. You may not even always realize what the effect is of what you do, what you say, how you act. Just being in this world. If those who are sitting within the sound of my voice, each one of us were to rise up and discover our union with God, how that would change this world. Never to be the same again. And it may not be accompanied with great fanfare or complete notice of this world, and yet it would be true. It would be true. And so really make your life count. Take it seriously. Take the fact seriously. You would not be listening to this if it were not true, that you have the capacity to realize God in your life. Right now, right here, when else is there? And when you take yourself in hand and you develop this love for God, and if you don't feel this attraction for God, then ask God for that attraction. Pray deeply to him, Lord, give me pure love for you. Make yourself more tempting than the temptations of this world. Find deep within yourself that magnetism, that strong magnetism Most all of us have tasted at one point or another the presence and the bliss and the true nature of God. And the amazing thing is that we can experience it that, and then it fades from our consciousness as if it never existed, when while we are in the midst of that experience, we couldn't imagine anything else counting in this life. And then we treat it as so much of nothingness, something to be discarded, something to be forgotten about. This is a great mystery in life, how this could ever happen. And yet it does, time after time. Papa would go days without sleep because he is afraid to forget God even for a second. So just as you go about through your day, you know this does not need to be difficult. And you sing God's name, you remember God, you serve God, you think of God. Just divert your mind. All the things that you used to think about, just transfer that to God. Did not God create everything that you could possibly put your mind upon? He is all of that and so much more. In closing, I wanted to read to you some lovely words of Sister Gyanamata, another great, great disciple of Masters. This woman who was mother was such great friends with, she is also from Seattle. And she met Master the year before Mother did. Master had been in Seattle the year before, and she met him then. And at some point, Mother and Sister Gyanamata came to know each other. In fact, Mother dated his son for a while when she was not married. And apparently, she never explained, but it didn't work out. But Sister Gyanamata was Mother of Wisdom. And she just had it in spades, and she had this love and devotion for her guru that went way beyond her time. Certainly she hadn't been raised with that, and that notion of a guru and loving a guru, but she just had it, and she had it so much that she, one time Mother pointed out, any time you see a picture of Sister Gyanamata, she'll always be facing towards Master. She couldn't bear to be in the same room and turn her back to Master. She just had this feeling towards him, as Mother did herself. And so this is something that she wrote at one time. I was kneeling in prayer in the chapel. I was thinking something that was coming into my life that filled me with apprehension. I knew that it was not the will of God that I should be saved from the experience. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes you know either something is happening currently, or you know something is coming, and it's going to be difficult. And you also know that it is the will of God. Even at that moment, it was moving toward me. Suddenly, God told me the prayer he would listen to, and I said quickly, "Change no circumstance of my life. Change me." Now think of how most people pray. They pray, give me this, give me that, give me release from this. It's all about what God can give you to change your circumstances. But listen to what God prayed through her mind, through her lips. Change no circumstance of my life. Change me. Change me. There are experiences that the soul never forgets, but which cannot properly be expressed. My prayer was answered instantly. I was changed. Trying to put this into words, all I could compare it to was a window being opened in an overheated room and a cool, refreshing breeze blowing in. It is not getting our own way that gives joy. It is attunement with the divine will. It is not getting our own way that gives joy. It is attunement with divine will. And of course, I think she has it exactly right. Exactly right. The changes of this world, as Solomon pointed out, the vacillations of this world, there's a time and a season for everything. Sometimes everything seems to go your way. You'll see that in sports where a team or an individual player will just, every shot sinks. It just seems like they're in that zone and everything goes perfectly. And then another time they're just fighting it. And even the greatest champions will go through a time like that and it just seems like nothing's going right for them. They're making all the same effort, they have the same concentration, but just nothing is going right. And then the tide changes, and now suddenly everything goes well again. And so these are the ways of the world. The world will always show us an alternating face. And it drives us mad if we're trying to anchor ourselves to this world and find our happiness in this world. Because we want just things to just go smoothly. We want them to go our way all the time, of course. We'd like it to go our way. I remember when I was young and I used to, maybe one of my first prayers to God, I didn't have the wisdom of Sister Gyanamata, and I'd say, well, God, I want good grades and I want lots of friends. And you just do it for me. I didn't want to have to study or anything to get the good grades. I just wanted them. And of course, that's not the way that it works. Don't change my circumstances, change me. And so, this world will always give us an alternating phase. Sometimes we think things are just going along swimmingly, just smoothly, and then there's a sudden death. Or perhaps there's a job that suddenly we think everything's all set, and then the job goes away on us, and along with it, the income. Isn't it natural to grieve? Isn't it natural to have fear then? When we're anchored in God, we're anchored in a greater reality than the changing faces of this world. And it makes us know that whatever is going on in the outside, that as long as we're anchored and feeling our divine attunement, that all is well. The wonderful story that Papa told about the man who lived in a village, and he had the habit of saying, everything is God's will, everything is God's will, which drove his wife just a little bit bad. She didn't like it so much, and they went through a really tough streak, and they're fairly poor, they just lived in a little hut, and so one day their crops began to fail. She was very worried, the wife was very worried, and he just simply said, well, it's all God's will. Mm-hmm. And one thing after another was taken from them, their dog even died. And so their dog died, they didn't have any firewood, they didn't have anything, they were really just stripped down to nothing. And so they and their family, they had some sons and some daughters, were really having a difficult time, and as was the nature of their world at the time, there were different rajas and different rulers who could just come through and they would just draft whoever they wanted. And they were having a terrible war at the time. So this Raj came through the town and he instructed all the soldiers to get anybody who was of age, any of the men, and draft them into the army and haul them off to be in this terrible war where so many were killed and injured. And so they were doing so, and they came to this hut, and they didn't see any smoke curling out of the place because they had no firewood to burn. They saw that the crops were in a complete state of disrepair. There wasn't any dog outside this hut barking. And so they said, well, obviously nobody lives here, and they passed on. And this man, in his equanimity, once they saw that they were passing on, and he said, all is God's will. And now his wife could see the wisdom in this saying, because they had nothing in that sense. Then their sons were safe, and they had sons who would have been taken, surely. So this is, when you have this feeling, when you have this attitude, everything happens according to God's will. And it doesn't mean that we are not in this world and that we're not working to better our lives. Of course that we can and that we should. But superior to all of these things, superior to all of it, is divine attunement. Because when we have a divine attunement, whether things seem to be going our way or not, we feel God's presence, God's peace, God's hand upon us. And He will guide us. He will show us what to do. Doesn't mean that things will go easily or smoothly necessarily, but that we can experience that divine presence with us always. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And it lifts us out of this world, out of the thraldom of this world. It's a superior joy to whatever this world can offer to us. So even though we live in this time of seasons, even though we live in this time when you will be influenced by the stars and by the things of this world, nevertheless, do not get so distracted with any of these that you forget God. Put God first, and all these other things shall be added unto you, as the Christ spoke and told us so many centuries ago. The truth is the same, but you see, we have to pound it into our brains. We have to remind ourselves again and again and again, because we forget so easily. We get distracted with the thraldom of this world. And as a result of that, we become lost, afraid, disoriented. To have the calm clarity of God consciousness is worth everything. Everything. And so let us remember today and all days to put God first, to sing His names, to think of His glories, to learn and teach this mind to meditate more deeply, become absorbed into God. And then we will discover our true and lasting happiness. Sing with me, may the long time sun shine upon you.
May the long time sun shine on you, all else around you, and the pure light within you guide you all the way home.
May the long time sun shine on you, all else around you, and the pure light within you guide you all the way home.
May the long time sun shine on you, all else around you, and the pure light within you guide you all the way home.
All the way home. Complete and total God realization. Now, if you'll pray with me, O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
us.
Bless us.
Amen.
Amen.
Pranam sakau to the light of the moon. Just want to tell you just what joy it is for me for us to come together in satsang. Association with truth.